Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning. We're going to read verses 6 through 8 in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. I'll read aloud as you read silently. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. As you're finding your place, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and beginning at verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the just the magnificence of it. And God, words can't describe how or even why you've given us your Word for us to hold in our hands, but Father, we thank you this morning for it. And Father, now as our pastor comes to preach your word to us, help us to have attentive ears and hearts willing to do what the Bible says this morning. We want to hear from heaven today. And for this to be accomplished, Father, we're going to need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him this morning to help us. Now, Father, I don't want to be negligent in saying this. If there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray today before this service is over, they would settle that in their heart. God, work in our midst tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
As you're being seated this morning, heed the warning. That's a cell phone warning. Please make sure it is turned off or to vibrate. If not, and it goes off during the service and we hear it, the fleas of 1,000 camels will infest you as you get home, not here. We don't have to put up with that. So help us there, please, if you would. And that's a lot of camels. That's a lot of fleas. So help us by turning that off and bear with us this morning. There's what's called a parenthetical statement in the verses we read this morning. Did you see that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And the statement is, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Now, in the context of this scripture, he's talking about what happens. By the way, if you ever want to know what happens when a person dies, what happens immediately at death, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is one of your best chapters. Because it tells us that we are then absent from the body and present with the Lord. There is no soul sleep. You don't go to the grave. The moment that you die, your spirit separates from your body. Your soul and spirit, the real you, leaves this house and goes to heaven. Just like that. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. See, I wonder how that works. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's one we're going to have to trust God about. So that's why he puts a little parenthetical statement in there. But that parenthetical statement this morning is what I want to talk to you about in this, what the Bible calls a walk of faith. Now let's be clear this morning. Faith is not just believing in something. Faith is trust and confidence in God and his word. And then acting upon what you believe. You don't have real faith if it doesn't move you to some action. That's why James chapter 2 talks so much about faith without works is dead, being alone. It's not telling you have to work for your salvation. It's telling you who are already saved. What you believe means nothing if it doesn't move you to some kind of action. So when we talk about we walk by faith and not by sight, it's talking about how every day of our lives we take one step of faith after another step of faith after another step of faith. I'm glad the Bible talks so much about this business of our walk in life. I'm glad the Christian life is not a sprint. It's a walk. Because walking is one of the most basic things of life. You know, as it is with little children, you spend the first year or so of their life teaching them to walk and talk, and then spend the rest of their life teaching them to shut up and sit down, but that's a whole other subject. But it's a walk thing, and everybody's held their little hands and gotten them, told them, now take a step. And they get their little leg out there, and they take that step, and they, once they get that one step after the other step thing down, they learn to walk. So when the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight, it's talking about taking steps of faith in your life. Steps of faith in God, steps of faith in God's Word. By the way, the two go together. They're not separate. You can't say, I trust God and I don't trust the Bible. You have to trust both of them. This book reveals to us who God is. We wouldn't even know Him if we didn't have the Bible. So you can't reject the Bible and believe, say you believe in God. You're basing your faith on what you think, not what the Bible says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But there's steps of faith in our life. And when we take steps of faith, the Bible says, then we learn to walk by faith. You have to take it one step at a time. I mentioned a little bit ago about our brother Randy Smith, 62 years of age, had a cerebellar stroke. He's not experiencing any numbness or paralysis, but it took place at the base of his brain. And it's affected the brain's automatic wiring that goes from the brain to the body, enables. So we don't think about walking. As I walk across this platform today, I'm not thinking, okay, left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. It's an automatic thing after a while. Okay, that's what's affected for Brother Smith, and he's going to have to learn how to walk correctly again. And that's a process of things he's going to have. It's going to take some time. But what they're going to teach him is, now, you have to tell your brain to tell your foot to take the next step. It will come back, and he'll get back to a place where he'll have the automatic response again. But for now, can you imagine being 62 years old and having to teach yourself to walk again? It's going to take some time. I guarantee you, you didn't think this morning when you got out of your car, now let's go left foot, right foot toward the church. You got out and said, I'm going to go in the church building, and your brain just told your feet where to go, and you took off. Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Listen, there are steps of faith that you need to take. Let me give them to you this morning. Number one, you need to step out. You need to step out. One of the things that causes us to fall as we get older in life is we don't pick our feet up. And because we drag our feet, we catch it on things, we go down. We have to learn to step out. But the step out of faith is you need to learn to step out and trust God in His Word. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, that should be simple. It should be, shouldn't it? Shouldn't it just be simple to us? After all that we've experienced in life, shouldn't it be simple for us to step out by faith and just do what God tells us to do? To just say, okay, you know, God has proved Himself trustworthy. Is that not true? Thank both you Methodists. I said, is that not true? Yes, it is. God has proved Himself trustworthy to us. God has proved His Word trustworthy to us. This book has never failed anybody. A lot of people failed as they tried to do what it says, but that's their failure, not God's Word. That book does not fail. If you'll do what the Bible says, it will turn out the way it's supposed to. God promised that because the omnipotence of God and the omnipresence of God is behind every commandment in this book. Because it's His Word, not my Word, not the church's Word, not religion's Word. This is God's Word. God put this down on paper so we would know what God said about any subject, in any matter, in any way, under any circumstance. This is the revelation of God, the only one. The Bible, Genesis to the Revelation. There is no addition. There is no other testament. There's one book. That's all. But it's got everything in here we need. Now look at me. We need to step out in faith on this thing. We need to step out in faith. For some of you today, it's stepping out and trusting Christ as your personal Savior. We often remind you that salvation is not about receiving a church. It's not about receiving Christians. It's not about receiving religion. Salvation is receiving Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you something. That's why you have no reason to not be saved. I don't care who's messed with you, what you've heard, seen, done, or not done, or anything else. I've been messed with by religious people. So have you. Christians have failed you. That happens sometimes because sometimes Christians don't do what they're supposed to do. But you cannot reject Jesus Christ over what you haven't seen in people's lives. Because Jesus Christ is perfect. And you can step out and trust Christ this morning because salvation is receiving Christ as your personal Savior. Step out, friend. Step out by faith. Walk by faith and not by sight and take that step of simply, well, I don't know, Brother Johnson. You see, it's hard for me to have faith. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. You had faith this morning. You had faith in your car to get you here. If you had a Ford, you had a miracle and faith. You had faith to get you here this morning. You had faith to sit down in that chair. You didn't walk in that chair and say, I don't know about that chair. I don't know how many Baptists have sat in that chair after potlucks. I don't know about that chair. I'm not sure about that chair. You just walked up and sat down. It took as much, and that's about as much faith as it takes to save a soul. You simply trust Christ as your Savior, and God simply saves you. Oh, and I think it's more complicated than that. I think you have to understand infralapsarianism and the understanding of the modalistic monarchianism of hyperdispensational theology. And you got to get all that down. No, you don't. Here's what you do. You realize you're a sinner. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and He saves you. Period. That's it. You just step out by faith and trust Christ. We walk by faith and not by sight. Salvation is simple because Jesus did the hard part. You just step out and trust Christ. That's what it takes. The walk of faith is a step, and the step of faith that we need is a step out kind of faith. Step out and trust God. Christian, what is it that the Bible's telling you to do you won't do? And what are all your reasons? What are all your excuses? Well, I would do that, but then there is step out by faith. I almost used the text this morning of Matthew 14 where Jesus and the disciples are in the boat and Jesus comes walking to them on the water. And it's Peter who looks out and says, Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. But then Peter had to take that step and get out the boat. He had put his leg over the side in a storm. And he had to take that step to get out of the boat. Then he had to take the step where he let go of that boat and trusted that the Lord would be able to have the power to hold him above the stormy waves. Then he had to take that step of, and then the Bible said he began to go to Jesus. See, he could have just got down out of the boat and stood there and went, whoa, look at this. And got all excited about the fact that he wasn't sinking. But that wasn't the point of getting... You like that? That was a word, huh? Sorry. You get old, you know, you get a little rickety. And he could have just stood there and went, hey, look at this, look at this. But it wasn't about Peter staying above the water. It was about going to Jesus. So he had to step out of the boat. He had to step to the waves. Then he had to step on across. He didn't walk on the water. He walked above it. And he's stepping above the waves to going to Jesus. He stepped out. He stepped out. He stepped out. He stepped out. And because he did, the Lord helped him. And he saw a mighty and miraculous thing. And it was when he took his eyes off Jesus and he stopped walking that he began to sink. But even Peter then had the wisdom to say, as he began to sink, Lord, save me. And Jesus was right there to catch him by the hand. And they walked back together to the boat. Now look at me. That's just a simple picture of what really the Christian life is all about. Step out, Christian. What's the thing now that you're supposed to do you haven't done yet? What's that thing in your life? What is it, that verse of obedience? What is it about your life? What is it you know you need to step out and do? What is it you know He wants you to do and you haven't done it yet? Step out by faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The step of faith also involves this. It's called the step up of faith. Step up. When the Bible calls us to step up to our responsibilities, then step up to it. Well, Pastor Johnson, it's a new day and age today, and what people are telling us today a man is and a woman is and a husband and a father and a wife and a mother and what children are supposed to be. I mean, I don't know what to do anymore. I mean, one TV program tells me this, another TV program tells me that. No, that's your problem. You're watching too much television. And then they tell me this, and then now my in-laws say, I don't know what to do anymore. You know, everything God created us. He made man and he made a woman, and he didn't just make us and leave us to figure it out. He made us and then created us to be what he wanted us to be, and then wrote it down in here and told us what that is. Now, what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is this. We need to step up to our responsibilities. And it's a step of faith. It's a step of faith to say, okay, then I'll be the man God made me to be. I'll be the husband God wants me to be. I'll be the father God wants me to be. I'll be the citizen God wants me to be. And it's a step up, ladies, for a woman to say, then I'll be the woman God made me to be. I'll be the mother or the wife. I'll be what God wants me to be. I'll step, but you have to step up to that. We want everything to come to us on our level, the way we live it. And that's not how it works. You have to step up. And it's time for people to step up to their responsibilities. I hate to bring bad news to you once again, but it's an election year. We hear people who want to be elected. Are you really listening to anybody who wants to step up to the responsibility of what they need to do? Please don't believe someone when they tell you they're going to go to Washington and fix stuff. Sit down, Stephen, right there, please, would you? Sit down right there, sir. Thank you very much. Step up to it. Now, listen to me. Please don't believe these folks when they tell you they're going to go to Congress and fix Congress. Or they're going to go to Washington and fix Washington, one person. Please don't believe that. I hope they have the intent to do so. I would just like to see somebody step up to their responsibilities and assume the responsibility for which they were elected. That would be nice. But I'm not really concerned about Washington and politics this morning. I'm concerned about men who are not willing to step up to their responsibilities as husbands and fathers. And I'm not talking about some King Kong who goes home and beats on his chest and orders everybody around while he doesn't do his part. I said step up to your responsibilities. Got too many quitters. Got too many guys who have, you don't have to like the expression if you don't want to, but have wimped out. They just decided they're going to sit back and let it roll, baby, and let somebody else take care of everything else. Step up, friend. Now look at me. It's a step of faith. Well, I'm not sure how it will go because it hasn't been that way in my house for some time. I can't guarantee you how it'll go. I can guarantee you God will get behind what you're doing, though. When you step up now, ladies, same thing for you. When you step up to the responsibility of what God made you to be, there is a great step. There is a step there. But it's a step up. It's always a step up. It's never if God's not going to send you a direction he doesn't want you to go. And it'll be, listen to me, it'll be far, far, far better to step up and have the problems that would go with that and the God behind it to help you get there than to step out of this thing and just decide I'm not going to do it. Here it is now. In your home, in your church, step up to what your church needs. God sent you. I believe this with all of my soul. God sent you to this church for a reason. I believe that. Because, listen to me, I believe this church needs to be here for you, and I believe you need to be here for this church. And it's a partnership. Now, I'll guarantee you somewhere down the road we won't fulfill every expectation and responsibility of every member who comes to Shasta Baptist Church. But I promise you we'll try. I promise you we'll do our best. I promise you we'll work at it. I promise you we'll do our best to love you, care for you, watch out for you. I promise you we'll do our part. I promise you we'll do our best to do our part. Now then, can I ask you a question? Are you willing to do the same for your church? We sit and receive and get. And then my question is, when does it turn around here? That went over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. But we really do get this thinking that, well, you know, after all, I go to church because I like this and I like that and I like this and I like that. Good. What is it that you do that makes this church a better church? We call it being a church member. That means you join up, you get in, you participate, you have something. Now, I'm not talking about your stuff now. I'm saying you have something this church needs. There's somebody here you can help, minister to, work with. There's something you can do here. Because that's what it's all about. It's about us helping each other to do what needs to get done. And the same concept of stepping up applies to our lives and society and everything else. It's a blessing to pastor Shasta Baptist Church. Every week I get to see God's people and the work of a church do what it's supposed to do. It's not always perfect. We don't always get everything done that should get done. We don't always see every person that needs to be seen. I'm sorry for that. And I'm sorry if we don't fulfill all the social expectations people have for churches. But trust me, We had people in all kinds of hospitals this week. We had people all over town this week. We had a lot of things that happened. And I'm sorry for all the social expectations are not met. And everyone doesn't get every bit of individual personal attention that's necessary. I'm sorry for that. And I apologize. And it's my fault. I understand that. Please listen to me carefully this morning. But can I ask you a question? What part of that are you fulfilling in your life? Because a handful of us in this ministry, we can't do it all. It's just not going to happen. Hey, they're kids. They're kids. They need you. You hear me? They need you. They're young people, teenagers, they need you. Senior citizens, they need you. We step up. The walk of faith is also a step over. You know, when something gets in the way, ladies and gentlemen, you can either stand there and look at it, talk about how big it is, how ugly it is, and how bad it smells, and everything else is wrong with it, or you can just say, well, there it is, and step over it and keep going. Because sometimes the step of faith is a step over. We just decide, okay, fine. You see, Bob Jones Sr. said it well. He said, the test of a man's character is what it takes to stop him. You're going to have to learn to step over some things in life. You have to realize, you know what, I can either stand there and say, well, boy, I don't know about that. It always amazes me how, you know, you've had several children in your life. It's always amazing how some of them are just daredevils. They have no fear. They will jump off things you as an adult would not jump off of. And not even hesitate. Just, woo, here we go. And they're gone. The other kid will stand there and go, And you're right there and you got your little hands right there. And all they have to do is just basically fall into your hands. Come on now, come on. I'm right here. Dad'll get you. Dad'll catch you. Maybe that's because I dropped them a few times. I don't know. But the point, you know, they never get over it. What's wrong with kids nowadays? Hey, all right, you bounce good. Try it again. Then we come to things in our life and we go, I don't think I could ever get over that loss in my life. Step over it. Grace of God, keep on going. Otherwise, we're just going to stand there for the rest of our life examining the speed bumps of life. We're just going to look at things and say, well, I was doing good, but that stopped me. Oh, that stopped you, or you stopped because that got in the way? Which one is it? Ladies and gentlemen, how can you do this? How can you be a man like Job in the Bible, who all of his children are dead, and one day he loses everything he owns and says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him? How do you do that? He had to step over 10 fresh graves to keep going in his life, but he did. He had to step over the bad news of, behold, there came another, and behold, there came another, and behold, there came another. But he just learned to step over some things in his life and just keep going. Otherwise, we just stand there and break out the cheese to go with all the wine we got going on and just say, well, I can't do that now because of this, and I can't do that because of this, and I can't do that. And we live in a society that's choking to death on their excuses. Instead of somebody just step over this thing with the help of God and the grace of God and get going again. It's a step of faith. We let obstacles and hindrances or oppositions stop us in their Christian life. Take the step of faith and step over those things and keep on for God. I like the study of history. I'm a history buff. I like it. I'm always amazed at the lives of great missionaries, great Christians of the past. I'm amazed at the life of anybody that's ever done anything with their life. You know, Thomas Edison, you may know the exact number of his inventions and things. I think it was well over 1,200, probably more than that. But in Edison's life, he was a man who knew extreme failure. Abraham Lincoln, for instance. Abraham Lincoln lost more elections in his life than he won. Far more, to be honest with you. He was only elected to office, I think, three times in all the times he pursued, and he lost, I mean, scores of elections. How did these people, they learn to... We walk by faith and not by sight. Pastor, I don't think I can get over this one. Whenever I hear somebody say that, I think to myself, they want to quit or they want me to justify their quitting. Now, I won't do that. Well, Pastor, that's not very compassionate. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't let things that fall in our path come in before us in our lives become the reason we don't get done what needs to get done. You have to have God's grace. If God could get Job out of the ash heap and keep that man going, and Joseph out of the prison and onto the palace, if God could do all of that through those people, why can't he help us get over what we experience in life? Because he will. But it takes faith to say, okay, one more step, and we step over. The step of faith that makes it necessary to walk by faith then is to step aside. To step aside simply means you get out of the way and let God work in God's time. I'm afraid we run ahead of God too much in our lives. And we're expecting God to play catch up. Here, God. Here, God. Come on, God. Stay up with me now. Here we go. Here we go, God. Come on. And we run ahead of God and then wonder why we're in trouble. You know that dumb, you ever seen the bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot? That's stupid. No, I don't want to be flying the plane of God in the co-pilot seat. Co-pilot's just there in case the pilot passes out. If you God's the co-pilot, you better switch seats. You're in the wrong spot, and so is he. Step aside sometimes just simply means, okay, Lord, this one's I'm not getting in the way on this. No, sir. No, sir. I've been out here running my life and living my life and doing what I want to do. I'm going to step aside now. Let God get back in the driver's seat. Let Jesus lead. Hey, the Lord is my shepherd means he leads, you follow, he feeds, you swallow. Well, that means I have to be like dumb sheep. Well, you know, I'd rather be dumb sheep than a hard-headed donkey. There's a good word for that you can't use in church, but it's in the Bible. I'm going to use it anyway. He said I could say it. He said, go ahead. Vuro. Okay, too many are running in. Yeah, I bet you would. That was not what you were thinking. You're lying in church. That foot's never going to heal. You keep that up. Too many are running ahead of God and doing things their way. Listen now, their way in their time. Well, I'm sorry, but I couldn't wait on God any longer. Excuse me, think about the statement. I couldn't wait on the Lord any longer. I had to do something. You had to do something. Your timing is better than the creator of time and universe and eternity. Your timing's better than, he knew what I had to have done. He did. And he just forgot all about you. He looked down there and said, oop, where'd he go? Is that what happened? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting is not passive, but it does mean get out of the way and let God do this here. In God's time, in God's way. So much of what our problems that are created in our lives are created because we rush things instead of let God take over and do what God should do. Never step aside from what's right. Never step aside from what's right. Never step aside and say, well, I just need to back out church for a while because it's important. I'm going through too many things in my life. That's like saying you're too sick to go to the hospital. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we get out in front and God has to try to catch up. God doesn't play catch up well. How about just step aside and say, okay, God, you go ahead. And you're going to lead and I'm just going to take this thing in your time and your way. Ecclesiastes says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Isn't it amazing how after a long, hot summer, isn't it amazing how it always seems like there's just one day where it's 142,000 degrees in Reading, and people in purgatory are coming here for a break. And there is no purgatory. You get the illustration. And then it rains one day, and all of a sudden it's like, boop, the season changes. But it always comes around about the same time of year, minus a drought. It always comes around the same time of year. And God's time of seasons just seem to come. I mean, there's summer and then there's fall. And then there's winter. Isn't it amazing how it just kind of goes like that? How the sun just kind of comes up in the east and it goes down in the west. And it's just kind of been doing that for about 6,000 years of human history. Isn't that fascinating how everything just seems to operate? God's timetable of things just seem to go on. Why can't we step aside and let God do his thing in his time? Because he had made everything beautiful in his time. There's one last step of faith to take this walk by faith, not by sight principle. And this is the only, this needs to come in this order. Sometimes we need to step back. Now, one more time, not from what you should do, not from what the Bible says, but have you ever noticed that you paint a room in a house? You don't go in there, get the brushes and the rollers out, paint, 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 roller, 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 and walk out. You paint a wall, and then what do? You step back and look at it. And you say, man, how in the world did I miss all that stuff? And you go back and paint it. What does an artist do when he paints a picture? Or she paints a picture. They paint the picture, they're done, put a cover over it, they're done. No, they don't. They stand back and, I don't know what this is all about. I tried that with a painting one time. It didn't make it look any better. My thumb got in the way. I never could figure out what that was supposed to be. But they'll step back and then they'll look at the painting and get the picture. A step of faith, sometimes it means step back, look at me, and take a look at something through the eyes of God about something. Because sometimes we, as we use the expression, sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. And sometimes we can't see the situation in our life like we should. And sometimes, it's, you say, but Pastor Johnson, to step, you're talking about take some time out and just step back and look at my life. That's right. Question, when was the last time you took an honest look at your life? Now we bolt ahead, our lives are way too busy. And we say, I'm too busy to do that. Then we're too busy. Because then life gets away from us and we go, hey, what happened to that? I don't know, why didn't you step back and look at this thing? And ask God to help you to see this the way you're supposed to. When was the last time you stepped back and looked at your marriage? You stepped back and looked at your family. You step back and looked at your future and the will of God for your life. You just took enough time to step back and say, okay, God, help me with this. That's something that's lost in our generation today. The old school people, they used to take time and just step back about some things and just look some things over very carefully. Make deliberate decisions by God's direction. Sometimes we need to step back from something. I'm not talking about that chicken junk where we step back from our marriages and step back from our families and step back from our work responsibilities and step back from church. I just need to step out for a while. No, you don't. Why don't you just say it the way you want to say it? I'm overwhelmed and I don't want to do anything I'm supposed to do. Why don't you just say it that way? Because that's what it is. Don't step back from anything that's right or important or of your responsibilities. But how about in your life with the direction of God's word, seeking His face, step back and look at this thing and say, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this really where my life should be? Because I guarantee you this, it's as much a step of faith to step back as it is to step up. Because stepping back, maybe you'll see something you don't really want to see. You know those parents. They don't want to see if there's something wrong with their children. They don't want to see it. So their pride will prevent them from being honest about what's going on with their kids. They don't want to see a problem in their marriage, so they just plow through. Then the thing blows up. And then we go, oop, how'd that happen? Because you didn't step back and look at it. How do we get to a stage in life and we're disillusioned with our lives? Because we didn't step back before we got to that stage and looked at it to check our direction to make sure we're headed where we should be headed and let the Word of God be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Step back is a step of faith too. For the Bible says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's one step after the other one. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning. Would you heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment?